Time to say hey to Dr. Mark Welch, Grain Marketing Specialist, Texas A&M College Station. Where are you at today, Mark?
Good morning, Todd. Calling from College Station, Texas this morning. So back on home stomping grounds today.
Well, we've had some rain this week, so things are looking up around here after months and months of nothing. But
boy, you bet. So good to hear of those significant levels of rain that have come through. And you know, it takes a while to catch up to kind of where you ought to be and where you need to be. But nice to know it can still do it. And so hopefully a pattern will emerge that's a little more friendly. But all those things playing out, even if we see those raw commodity prices come down, I mean, it's not hard to imagine or hard to speculate that many of these other prices are going to take much, 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 much longer. They typically will come down over time, but when you think about the destruction of production facilities, of transportation systems, just the logistics of moving stuff around, the elevated risk in today's world, just understanding how vulnerable many of these transportation systems and supply outlets are to the global economy, it's just going to raise our costs for a lot of things. I'd expect gasoline will come down, but likely to take a much extended period of time. More so than we may see a drop just in straight crude oil. Same thing with the fertilizer market. They shot higher with the as these restrictions were placed on movement of goods coming out of that part of the world, and they are starting to come down a little bit in some products, not completely across the board yet, but they will come down if price of grain stays low. But it will take time. I've heard it described that these input prices, they tend to take the elevator up and the escalator down. And we can kind of see that playing out. They'll shoot up drastically higher, dramatically higher, but then it'll take time for those to come down at a much more gradual, much slower pace. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing unfolding right now.
435 on December corn right now. So it's far cry from $5 we had not too long ago.
Right, and we've still got a lot of uncertainty in this corn crop. Of course, we've got an acreage report that's going to come out next Monday. The number that USDA is using in its balance sheet right now for U.S. corn is 95 million acres. That's what farmers surveyed back in February and early March said they were going to plant. And the question, of course, in the last couple of months is, with the increase in fertilizer prices, the turmoil around the world, did that shift any planting decisions? And so we'll get a little clarity on that. Then, of course, when we have, weather ahead of us. Crop condition ratings, growing conditions at this point for most of the country for the corn crop have been really, really good. In fact, condition ratings getting just a tad better over the last week or two, kind of right where we ought to be this time of year. But it's not even July yet. we know that you can set a high pressure dome can set up over Des Moines, or it can be raining good and everything looks fine, and it just shut off for the month of July and August. And so we'll get more clarity on those things as we go through time. But at this point, if you put a balance sheet together for the U.S. corn crop, it's hard to get a bottom line number of carryover corn that's not right at that 2 billion bushel mark. And that's a lot of corn. That's a lot of leftover. And so with some constraints we have on the use categories and with a big crop coming, it's hard to see much upward momentum in these prices at this point. So what's going to take to disturb that, to change that trajectory? Well, the acreage report next Monday could reset things for us. And then certainly, weather patterns playing out for the rest of summer. But, if you there's some really good opportunities a couple of months ago, and we hope folks got took advantage of that and got something done. But the balance sheet with a 2 billion bushel carryover, corn around 430, 440 a bushel, it kind of makes sense.
Well, export numbers coming out today. What are we thinking on that report?
The old crop corns continues to move, really solid numbers there. You know, USDA bumped up our expectations for the old crop corn, the 25 crop that we're still exporting. We are anticipating a lower level of exports into the new marketing year, and I think that's based primarily on just exportable competition. You know, right now, if U.S. plants 95 million acres and we have a yield of 183 bushels per acre, our production this year is going to be down about a billion bushels from where we were last year. So we're going from a 17 billion bushel crop to a 16 billion bushel crop, basically. But global production outside of the U.S. is going up. So we're getting smaller. We're backing off a little bit, but not everybody else. And so, again, at this point, with basically favorable growing conditions at this for people that are in season for corn right now, yeah, conditions look really, really good in most places. There's a little concern in Europe. There's probably driven all out the heat that they're having in Europe right now, and so that likely has some crop impacts. But otherwise, if you look at the condition ratings coming out of South America, coming out of China, coming out of Southeast Asia, you know, at this point, things look to be in really, really good shape. So there's a lot of corn in the world. So, yeah, that Thursday report, those export numbers, really important to keep an eye on. That's a very volatile, variable category for us. But, man, it's an important category. And, again, hearing your report this morning talking about, you know, the impact of tariffs and trade, critical to U.S. agriculture, particularly when it comes to our grains, oil seeds, or, you know, our cotton market, to have a viable, very competitive presence on the global trade platform is just critical for U.S. ag.
Well, the heat will be on next week across the Corn Belt, 95 to 100 degrees up there, it looks like.
Wow, wow. So it summers are coming, huh? And, you know, there are some great resources. I'm trying to include some of these in my newsletter, but in most of my presentations, there is a weather service out of the University of Iowa State University, called the Iowa Mesonet, M-E-S-O-N-E-T, which a lot of states use for their weather resource portals. And if somebody's interested in tracking some of that stuff about accumulated precipitation versus normal temperature, growing degree days, stress degree days, you can track different parts of the country, different by city, by ag district, by state, and just, you know, kind of keep track of is the heat becoming too burdensome perhaps, and the moisture not keeping up. Great resources out there to track what's going on across some key growing areas. It sure helps kind of make sense, I think, of some of these weather and crop condition reports that we get, but they're going to be so important. Again, we're at that time of year, week by week, until we get a little more security in the forecast or get more of the growing season behind us. You know, we're right at that tasseling, silking, be the grain filling stage, that we're at the temperature and moisture most critical times for the corn crop right ahead of us. So this weather's going to matter a lot.
So what do you got going on today over there in College Station?
We're you know, still getting ready for we're doing summer programs, of course, you know, field days. Seen some just phenomenal looking corn down here in this central Texas area, as in Milam County this week. Just looked incredible. Fayette County, which is south, kind of been here in Austin the week before that, down along the coast, down in Matagorda County, down southwest of Houston. Just really just a phenomenal looking corn crop in this part of the world. I know there's some areas down toward Corpus, further south, that the rain came too late. A lot of that early corn, grain sorghum really get hurt. Know that a lot of this moisture maybe came too late for a lot of folks out west. But there's a lot of really, really good corn, too. The corn we were looking at this week was, I'd call it in the full dent stage. It's come along pretty good. It's just almost made. And, yeah, we're getting some heat, too. And you hate to see that. You know, that takes the top end of your yield potential off when you have that kind of heat, even as you're trying to wrap up the crop. But at this point, things looking pretty good production-wise here. And we hope with some rain and a little more cooperation from Mother Nature. That'll help move the crop along up in y'all's part of the world.
All right, got a run packed full, even more than normal here this morning. Mark, give out your contact.
Always enjoy the conversation, Todd. And questions, comments, love to hear from you. Best way to do that would be shoot me an email, and you could do that to jmwelch@tamu.edu. Thanks a lot.
Neighbor, I'm Larry Marble.